I can hardly find words to say how good I feel, how good I feel today. But on behalf of all the people of the Caribbean, I just have to say congratulations. Oh, Shelly-Ann, Karen and Sharon. Oh, how you made us feel proud. Yes, Shelly-Ann, Karen and Sharon. I can hardly wait to welcome you home. But when the lightning striking, everybody frightened. Hear them talk about it was so amazing to see the train you sang. Oh, 969 and a world record of everybody jumping up and down a yard. Yes, me see the green and the gold and the black. 1930, I burn up the track like a locomotive. No one was able to stop. Yes, my lady and Sharika, you have put Jamaica on top of the world. In the streets are celebrations, everyone is feeling angry. From Moran Point to Neville Point, everyone is feeling good. Though we might be small, but in the world we stand tall. Sweet Jamaica, I feel your name a call. Oh, Shelly-Ann, Karen and Sharon. Oh, how you made us feel proud. Easy as a fan, no take it to heart. One day to come, you're going to bust up the chart. The race is not for the swift, but it's you can endure. Hold tight, Veronica, Bridget and Delorean. No matter what I've gone, darling, you are still our queen. Yeah, Shelly-Ann, Karen and Sharon. How you made us feel proud. Yes, Marlene, Karen and Sharon. I can hardly wait to welcome you home. Mrs. Sharika, I burn up the track like a distant source. Running from the back, sprinter steer, just I burn up the track. Victory she almost snatched, yeah. What a proud little island with a great set of people, a great set of people. From Bob Marley to Dennis Brown, lightning bolts burning off the ground. Her McKinley, Merlin Hattie, Dion Hemmings, Courtney Walsh, tell me how me sound. Tell me how me sound, oh, hey. There's a lot that we have to be proud of today. Shelly-Ann, now you're a golden girl. You have put Jamaica on top of the world. Shelly-Ann, Lord,
and good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 8th of July, 2010. It's your host, BK, here for CKLN Radio, CKLN's Reawakening. Apologies for being late. Woke up early, had some thoughts in my mind, crashed back out again, and blah, 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 and so on. So, while the reggae is playing here on Thursday, July 8th, 2010, I would like to invite people to call in today's show. The number is 416-595-1655. It's a beautiful day in Toronto, but as usual, I'm pissed off. Just because I'm not sure exactly what it's going to what it's going to take for people to go from, you know, hey, do your thing, man, to doing their thing. Because I don't need, hey, do your thing, man. I got that for years. I've been in movies and I've hosted things and I was reasonably, you know, successful socially and professionally, you know, up and downs, as with many people in life. But at the same time, you know, it's the type of thing where I just saw an ad on the TDC just now. I think the subway coming up here because it was getting late, and so I started to you know, just jump on that, and I saw this. Do you want to save baby birds? And it's a little ad there, baby birds, savebabybirds.ca or something. And I just like, oh my god, there's that. There's the safe space, you know, safe prostitution space ads out there. There's the new ads with a guy shirtless, you know, what type of effects do HIV drugs have on your brain, have on your body. And all of this stuff is crap. It's all crap. And so here on CKLM's Rude Awakening, Mondays through Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m., as your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, I try and get as much done as I can to break down some of that crap, but just hearing interesting stuff is not enough. And I know that, you know, believe me, I know how, you know, quote-unquote conspiracy theorists or whatever, you know, feel about this type of thing, you know, because people have told me. People have told me, you know, Alex Jones has, you know, a million listeners or millions of listeners, and he has, you know, trouble getting people to do stuff. And I just say, I don't care. I don't care if Alex Jones, he's a different person. That's his problem. You know, that's his problem with his pulpit. And I, you know, he's helped get me to do stuff. And I'm not exactly sure how I'm trying to sort of provide information in a more populist as opposed to esoteric way to make it easier to pass on, you know, to give people quick ways to understand things. You know, the recession is man-made, climate change is natural, you know, little catchy things like that. And I got to say, the vibe on the streets of Toronto is awesome. You know, we have a phenomenal city. As a certified whack job, I'm treated very well by people that, by and large, aren't certified whack jobs. And so that's great news. But you know, I'm on the subway. I'm at Bloor Station, Yonge and Bloor Station, about to head south, and I see ads everywhere for the new BlackBerry, or for a BlackBerry for that matter. And those ads for that BlackBerry are ubiquitous. They covered the entire Yonge and Bloor subway station. And they got things like sisters, bros, besties, I guess is the new term for best friends or BFFs or whatever. And I can see the programming everywhere, and I can see the reason. I look at it and instantly I think, ah, crap, control grid. You know, that's why they want us all getting cell phones now. I swear they got all those $30, $40 a month, you know, carriers out there with, you know, with cell phone plan options. And so, you know, I can see that. So that's the control grid. You know, they want that. They want, you know, the use of the cell phone and the radiation therein to weaken our immune systems, because it does. You know, electromagnetic radiation weakens your immune system. And so, you know, something will get you. Something will get you in some way, you know, once that happens. And then, of course, there's the reduction in language. As I'm watching, you know, what they recommend you type on your BlackBerry or say, and it's all these just, you know, grunts, like little three-word grunts. And as a guy who can go off for 3 hours at a time without stopping, you know, I suppose I shouldn't. But I'm saying out there to anyone who's listening, or anyone who will repeat this to someone who will listen, you shouldn't either. You know, you shouldn't just grunt, you shouldn't just text, because it's making it very difficult. A couple of cute girls at the second cup, you know, wandered over and sat near me. And well, yeah. One was eyeing me like I was a comfortable pair of shoes. So I was flattering, but, you know, I seem a little young and I seem a little busy. But you know, I had a chance, you know, because they did float by, to hear them, you know, just hanging out, you know, as I do. And I try not to eavesdrop on people. You know, I observe from afar and I get kind of the general buzz, but you know, I was nearby scribbling in my notebook, didn't have my headphones on at the time. So I'm hearing them chat, and they don't have as much to say to each other as one would expect, you know, because I remember young, you know, young giggly chatty girls. As much as we found them appealing, we also found them annoying as hell because they talked a lot. And they talked a lot about, you know, silly fun things, but at least they were more creative about it, more interesting about it. And more, you know, they had reasons or they had stuff they wanted to say to each other, and they had a joie de vivre, a joy of life in terms of explaining it to each other. And now these two girls seem perfectly nice, too cute, you know, young white girls. But just hearing their conversation, you know, it's basically referring to, you know, things that that they'd either said that were already, you know, kind of safe to bring up again, or plans they were going to make, you know, which is all good. But there wasn't that natural, let's make each other laugh, let's give each other some space, let's, you know, let's go at it in a conversation like there used to be among that type of demographic. And so, what do I know? I saw them for, you know, half an hour, whatever, 15 minutes when they came and kicked it near where I was chilling. So, you know, but then again, I've seen this before. And this is nothing to do with us. You know, this is nothing to do with, you know, our choices. That's the thing about this whole system here. Because here on CKLN Radio, here on Rude Awakening, Mondays and Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m. on 88.1 CKLN FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. I do try and talk about the New World Order, and I'm here on Infowars.com. And a great place to find out about, you know, what's going on. Video, National Guard helping confiscate guns in New York State. And yeah, now they're just stopping cars and looking for guns. Climate Gate whitewash complete. Third inquiry clears everyone involved. So the Climate Gate emails that were released, either leaked or hacked, that revealed thousands of emails showing the top scientists behind the climate change and global warming propaganda knew they were lying, knew they were profiteering, and we're trying to discuss how to lie better and how to hide evidence that exposed their lie. You know, they've been cleared by a third inquiry in England, and so we're all supposed to believe in the global warming garbage again. Obama commits high acts of treason, sides with foreign power against Arizona, basically the amnesty and all that sort of thing, you know, for illegal immigrants, that's just illegalized slave labor. So for all the people going, immigrants have rights too. Yeah, all right, give them amnesty. Make them second-class citizens like apartheid South Africa. There's your rights. So, on and on. National Guard and cops impose military police state in New York State. Many articles here on the gun confiscations and so on. So there's an absolute ton of information out there, and I can fly through it. And I can, you know, reveal it being interesting. And I can even say interesting things about it. But here on today's show, with a half an hour left or so, is anyone listening? If anyone out there is listening and would like to share your thoughts on what's going on, or if you'd like to ask me a question, please let me know. The number here is 416-595-1655. These shows here, I love doing them. I love going off like this. But I also know that, I do, and we all do, we need to get in each other's faces. We need to react to things like the loony weakening, the dollar weakening. We need to react to things like gun confiscation happening in New York, in America, about 10 hours from here. And in Canada, you know, we don't have any guns. They don't need to confiscate them. The problem with that is that if our state is ordered to attack us, we have no, means of recourse against that. So, again, the number is 416-595-1655. If you would like to be on air, if you'd like to share anything with people, 416-595-1655. Because the way I move these days, and, you know, for the last little while now, is I try not to, well, I got my shades on. And a lot of the time, and so I try and, you know, for many reasons, you know, a little privacy here and there. You know, I don't necessarily want you to see what I'm thinking because it might freak you out. you know, and so on. You know, don't have to make eye contact with everybody if I don't want to. When a lot of people are saying hello, which is nice. It's great. It's awesome. But you know, there are times when I got to finish a few thoughts in my head. So sometimes I can zone out better with the shades on. But also there's propaganda everywhere. You know, there's symbolism being used. And there's color schemes. And there's messages. And I, you know, I'm guessing, what the hell do I know? I haven't been, you know, I don't know what kind of test you can devise for this. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I've developed a reasonable one. But that has less of an impact on you, potentially, if you can shield yourself from that. And then there's the mass media. And when everybody's going off on, you know, the BP oil spill or the, you know, thing in Thailand or whatever, I know that these things are not meant. It's kind of like seeing those pictures of starving kids in Africa, you know, for years and years and years. And we are the world. We are the children. After all, we just got used to it. And then we didn't care. And then on the back of our minds, we know there's millions of people starving in Africa. And they don't show them to us anymore. You know, not much. Why is that? You know, why did they show them to us all through the 80s? And why don't they show them to us now? Well, we got used to it. And that idea is in the back of our minds. And that's what we think of Africa. We think Africa is, you know, full of corrupt dictators and famines and droughts. And these poor people just starve all the time and die. And we don't realize or make the connection between our, you know, governments and corporations and militaries screwing them. And what could happen to us. And, of course, what's happening to them. But on that note, since I am here and since I did get into the studio today, I may as well break down some news for you. I know I've been philosophizing a bit too much in the show, but I don't know. I know that there's a tendency in our culture to be obsessed with trivia. And by trivia, I mean you learn what you learn for work, you know, and there it is. And then there's trivia. And so all the rest of this stuff is trivia. It's just an information flow, you know, where you can get individuals who've been looking into quote unquote conspiracy theories or the New World Order for years who are caught in a dilemma. And I understand this. I tried to figure this out. I'm like, what the hell is the deal? You know, you're learning every day how they're killing you and you're not really doing much to stop it. So you don't care about you. And you're learning how they're killing other people. And you're not trying to tell them, even though it's really easy today. It's really, really easy. You got to know how. But you can't do it arrogantly. You know, who am I to say that? No, I'm talking about a situation here. I'm talking about fixing communication issues. You can't do it arrogantly. Where, you know, you try and beat somebody up with your opinion based on the fact that you know more about something than someone else does. You know, if I've been around Canadian hockey fans, and if they tried to, you know, go at me on what I knew about hockey, they'd kick the snot out of me. It is what it is. You know, and I just fall back a bit in that conversation. You know, throw in what I throw in, try and pick up, you know, what the situation is, you know, what round of the playoffs we're in or whatever. And then, you know, use kind of my background knowledge to add to, you know, the conversation if possible, or just fall back and chill out. And so it's the same thing with information about the New World Order, where, you know, we can't just assault people with our knowledge, especially these days when people don't want to have conversations about anything of enough length to discuss anything serious or complex or important. And so the sheer length of the conversations and our affinity for chatting online with you know, MSN chat or Facebook chat or Gmail chat or whatever, and texting each other means that if you try and approach somebody on some complex ish through no fault of their own, you might waste your time and theirs and tick them off, because then you'll have a permanent sort of you know, you'll have created a psychic scar with them, basically, by assaulting them with a reality that they don't care for and were unfamiliar with and, you know, don't need to hear from your, you know, they don't need to hear from you about it. So, what does this mean? What does this mean for us? You know, what does this mean for us here? Well, it means something really, really simple. And that is, people need to have confidence when they approach this information. And if they don't have confidence, then they're screwed. And if they're screwed, then we're screwed. Because if you know this stuff and other people don't, you're screwed. So how do you give people confidence in this? Well, you need to give them time. And you need to give them, a way to think that they can be confident in handling this information. And you need to give them the information. And then check back with them later. And I'm on this kick because I did see the loony, you know, starting to be sold to us as falling. Economists worldwide are now shifting from saying we're coming out of it to saying what they should have been saying all along, which is no, it's getting worse. Governments are just printing money like crazy to try and cover it. Some of that money is filtering through the economy to give us a little cover fire and to keep some liquidity in the markets where there's capital flowing around, even though there's less people spending it. But a lot of that's being stolen by governments and by corporations, banks, to help further fund their police state while the money's worth something. So when you see the cops, you know, got new toys and $1.3 billion spent on a fence here in Toronto, a concrete and metal fence for the G20, you know, where do they get that money from? You know, how do they just pull that out of their butt, you know, to do whatever? Well, they get that money from nothing, because the money is basically fiat created by central banksters out of nothing and then loaned to governments at interest, which then puts those governments under the control of those banks. And here we are. Basically, they just make the money up out of nothing and say, we have loaned you $700 billion. Here is your a receipt for the money that you owe us now. And the government goes, oh, thank you, we'd love to spend $700 billion. And then they wander back and they say to the people, we're $700 billion in debt, we got to tax you for it. And the banks are just cracking up because they obviously made it from nothing. They had some assets before that to run this scam. You know, you got to be mafia to pull some mafia-ish. And so these guys are definitely mafia after the Anglo-American establishment, the Queen of England's family, certainly behind a lot of this with the British Empire for the last few hundred years. But here we are today. And so, you know, I do stress to people out there, and I've stressed this for a couple of years now, because it doesn't stress me. You know, I can see the game, you know. This something is better than another nothing. You know, DVDs are probably the best, just because it's TV on TV. You know, people get to see whatever, and they can go, wow, that really was on, you know, CTV News, you know, with Lloyd Robertson going, it's known as the Bilderberg Group. Are they secretly planning world domination? And, you know, it was just, you know, I who knows why the hell they said that? You know, they were having a little fun, maybe, just knowing that most people are going to be, you know, titillated by it and move on. But we got it now. You know, we got it now. And so, you know, if you share the movie Blueprint for Global Enslavement by Alex Jones, it takes us through the last couple hundred years of history, the eugenics roots of the elite, who are basically killing us now with all sorts of poisons and making it seem like it's going to be normal for us to get cancer. You know, if you share a movie like that, it'll wake someone up. But then again, there's also, what is the wake up point for? You know, what is the wake up point for? I'm going to wake you up so, you know, you're all alone and cold in this world. That just seems mean. So we definitely have to have some solutions there. And if after looking into these things for some time, you know, we can't necessarily think of any, just sort of like, you know, here it is. You know, here's the info, and then do what thou wilt with it. Then we're kind of screwing people because they have enough problems as it is. And so by foisting on them, you know, a 2-hour DVD full of problems or a flyer or whatever full of problems without some sort of positive ending, without some sort of solution, is a mistake. And it's a mistake that's been made for some time now. in various circles based on the fact that, you know, people are choosing not to look into this stuff more. Because here in the new age, in the keep it happy universe, you know, where we're supposed to have fun and play like children as often as possible, people could see information of this nature and then be turned off. And so at this time in history, you know, as things are getting a bit more uncertain, you know, there's going to be people going one of two ways. You know, one is, you know, either through New Age interpretations of religion. Don't worry, God's got me. Yep. He says if I'm lazy and I smile a lot, then I'm going to get raptured. You know, or well, hey, man, you know, it is what it is. We're probably all screwed. And, you know, I'm smart enough to understand that. It's just like, what? you know, and so there's all sorts of ways to do that. You know, or they're gonna go the other way and they're going to try and fight really, really hard. But there've got to be techniques. There've got to be political pressure points to aim at. You know, how in this election year can we make our politicians accountable to things like, you know, the 36-0 vote yesterday, you know, on the Toronto police at the G20 to commend them for doing an outstanding job. You know, an absolute in-our-face whitewash. Everything's an in-our-face whitewash. You know, the $1.3 billion in security, the 10,000 cops, troops, mercs, and spooks are 19,000, according to some estimates. The Public Works Safety Act law that had, you know, Torontonians being and others being eyed all the time, you know, 24/7 in this city, that scared, you know, half the town or more than half the town out, shut down Bay Street for a bit, and had people illegally ID'd and searched both, you know, within 5 meters from the big stupid fence and throughout the downtown core. You know, all these and that was exposed as a fraud. It wasn't even a real law. They couldn't even get it through their corrupt system. They didn't bother. They just said, you know, yeah, you know, it's a law. And for the, and then they kept saying, it's for the G20. It's for the G20. And propaganda works through repetition. Repetition, repetition, repetition. I'll even engage in it sometimes, you know, because I know it works and because I know that, you know, there's certain things that need repeating. And so, you know, when they repeat, it's for the G20, it's for the G20, it's for the G20, and that becomes an all-purpose excuse, then they can get away with anything. And so, you know, they are slapping us at an increasing rate because of our lack of a response, because of our smug Canadian hobbit-like politeness. And this is not to take away from any of the fantastic work done by, you know, Terry Burrows on this issue, the first guy to really analyze the Black Bloc situation and point out for globalresearch.ca the fact that the Black Bloc protesters were, many of them, not all of them, many of them were wearing police-issue boots, or at least the same boots as the police in riot gear. You know, shiny new, you know, boots in black. And, of course, they were wearing, guy was caught wearing Nike pants, you know, in Black Bloc anarchist protesters supposedly hate Nike. You know, they're high-fiving each other. And so, you know, the fact is that there are more than likely provocateurs, police provocateurs, you know, people that understand the game. They understand the game. There are people out there that understand black ops. You know, they have no problem, you know, blowing stuff up, killing innocent people for, quote-unquote, the greater, you know, geopolitical strategy good, you know, as someone's explained to them. And they may not even care that much about the geopolitical strategy and the future of the nation. Some do. So, you know, military-industrial complex has to keep, you know, stupid stories like that laying around. But at the same time, there's guys that just like to break stuff and kick some butt. You know, and you know, seeing David Letterman drop, you know, watermelons off the top of buildings or televisions, you know, or whatever, and watching them go splat on the ground, I'm like, that would be a lot of fun, you know, or if I'm holding a shiny apple and I'm walking up the street eating it, you know, or if I'm passing by a school wall, I don't usually, I did maybe when I was a kid once in a while, but I would love to whip it at that wall and just see that damn thing go and explode. You know, and so we have these, you know, violent, you know, urges in our culture at times and tendencies. We want to see things destroyed and broken. We've just been raised to do that. Not all the time. Again, we're multidimensional people. But there are those elements, you know, in most of us And when it comes to the Black Ops guys, you know, police provocateurs or whatever, you know, they do psychological profiles on everybody in there. And they find who the best people are to ask for this, so they usually get it right. So in this world here, I'm going to Daniel from henrymacow.com, courtesy of the Infowars family, Infowars.com, where I found this. Although henrymakow.com is another great site. This is by Daniel in Austria. According to most media reports, the recent G20 summit was a, quote, failure. And again, when most media sources are saying something, that's the intelligence network. That's the spooks. That's the spies behind the scenes. That's the propaganda. Because I am a journalist, and I've spoken with other journalists, and I've been interviewed by journalists, and I've studied journalism. And I know reporters don't just, you know, most of the time, don't just want to write the same thing everyone else writes. You know, sometimes they're lazy. There's no doubt we're all getting a little lazy these days. I get a little lazy, get a little hazy from all the toxins in our environment and the propaganda and the stress and you know, the vague awareness that, you know, we could be close to losing everything. But you know, this is more than likely the intelligence network. If the same story, as has happened many times, is on the cover of every paper in Toronto, for example, and it has nothing to do with Toronto or Canada, for example, then you know it's propaganda. Even if it does have something to do with Toronto, Canada, the government, whatever, it's likely propaganda. The Elliot Spitzer story, you know, where former New York State Attorney General and then former New York State Governor, or is he running for governor? No, he's governor. Elliot Spitzer was caught with prostitutes, $5,000 an hour hookers was his passion. And, hey, I'm not saying I would have done it, but I understand. And so you know, that was blasted. And I checked the news and I checked the papers in Toronto and I saw what was happening. I think that almost every newspaper in North America had him and that scandal on the cover that day. How does that happen? You know, how do all the editors, you know, of independent competing papers all decide to make this a story? How do they all decide to do that? How do all the ones in Toronto decide to do that? You know, at the same time, yes, it's a story. Yeah, you can write about it, but the cover? You know, all of you guys savage him? And it was, you know, revealed later in a couple of great articles. Again, you can find many of them at Infowars.com, among other places, that Elliot Spitzer had written an editorial a couple weeks earlier for the Washington Post talking about how the Bush administration had used an obscure law to block the 50 state attorney generals from investigating the subprime loan mortgage crisis, one of the triggers for the illegal use of subprime loans made to people who definitely couldn't pay them back, you know, unless they won the lottery, just based on their current economic situation. It's like, dude, there's no way you should take out that much money. There's no way you should buy a house that's that expensive and owe that much money in the future. And it's insane for you to think that you can and should. So Spitzer wrote about how he and then 50 other, these people are smart. They're not, people have to move in certain ways if you want to be successful. If you want to be successful, you can say whatever you want. You know, you can scream F the police, off the pigs, you know, death to the pigs. And then when 10 or 20,000 of them show up in your city to harass us, you're going to be hiding in your basement going, oh, man, I really hope they didn't, you know, I really hope in this, you know, cashless society, you know, surveillance panopticon control grid, they don't know I said that. So, you know, you can say whatever the hell you want, but if you don't think, you're just going to say stuff to lose. And so that's what a lot of people do. So Spitzer mentioned that 50 other attorney generals were with him on investigating the Bush administration's, you know, acceptance of the practice of giving, you know, what should be illegal subprime loans, especially when, you know, the homeowner buys a home once every 10, 15, 20 years. And they don't know what the hell they're doing. You can do some research. You know, but it's complicated. You know, and whatever. Now, the bankers, on the other hand, the loan officers, they do this every day. And they do this several times a day. So they have more of a professional responsibility in that situation to evaluate you than you do. You know, like it's like if you go to a mechanic and, you know, the mechanic says, hey, man, you know what? Your brakes are in really bad shape. You know, you can't just go, oh, but I want to drive everywhere. Anyway, you know, if he just goes, fine, go for it. No, enjoy, man. Have a good day. Then, and you crash your car and, you know, you get seriously injured, then it's his fault for not saying, I told you not to drive. I told you leave the car here at the garage. If you're short on cash, no problem. We'll work something out. You know, maybe you could pay me less, or maybe, you know, you can pay me in installments. We can sign a little contract, and I can get you your car done, but it's going to take another day or two. And I know you need it right now. And I know you want to drive right now. But, you know, as somebody with more knowledge in this area, with respect to a decision that you're making, but, you know, one that may compromise your safety, I've got to tell you, your brakes are too crappy for you to drive. And then if you drive after that, you know, and you end up in a flaming wreck, kill yourself, kill someone else, break some property, you know, I told you not to. I can't stop you, but I told you not to. You know, maybe I can stop you. You know, maybe there's some legal, you know, precedent for this type of thing. But the bottom line is that, you know, I have a responsibility to speak up. And so same thing with the loan officers in the subprime mortgage case, which was not even caused by the loans. It was caused by the reselling of the loans and the derivatives, basically companies reselling debt to each other, profiting off this little Ponzi scheme until the last person at the end is left holding the bag because all they've bought is resold debt that's been resold over and over. And then when they finally try and sell it, nobody wants to buy it anymore. And then they're like, ah, crap, I'm the last guy out of the pyramid scheme. Ah, it's all falling on my head. And I paid and bought this debt to resell it. Now I can't. And so that's basically what happened. And there's $1.6 quadrillion in derivatives that the banksters, the financial institutions of the world are trying to keep propped up by feeding trillions of dollars of bailout money into it to keep this, you know, scam going and keep people, you know, playing along with the system. But all that is just weakening dollars worldwide, including the U.S. and Canadian dollar, because the more of something you have, the less it's worth. And so the more money you have in circulation, the less it's worth, which affects its buying power. And that's essentially what inflation is. It's not some magical voodoo. Prices go up, prices go down. Interest rates are set, cut half a point here. And, you know, we kind of guess people will do this. It's none of that garbage. It's just an increase in the money supply that causes it to reduce its value. So back to HenryMacau.com. According to most media reports, the recent Toronto G20 summit was a failure. That's bad news. When they say it's a failure, that means it's a success. However, if one understands that the real goal is not to repair the economy, but indeed to cripple it in order to impose a dreadful new formula of, quote, global governance on mankind, then the G20 summit was a resounding success, albeit a sinister one. What was the outcome of that weekend in late June 2010? Now, it's so long ago. Literally, like 8 days. And it's gone. It's gone. Our corporate government goldfish creating media has made us forget about it. Move on. If you bring it up now, as I'm bringing it up on this show, I'm a loser. 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 Don't you know what the corporate media has given us to talk about today? You're so stupid. You don't know what to say today, do you? Do you? Do you? You little commie. So anyway, what was the outcome of that weekend, late June 2010? The participating nations, or should one say the Politburo of the world, brought forth a quite substantial closing declaration, almost a treaty, defining their brutal goals as well as their timeline. The ever-angelic, in a distant pre-1980 times, committed Marxist-Leninist German Chancellor Angela Merkel, she's just the head of Germany, they call her Chancellor, who has assumed the leading role in advancing this new formula of de facto communist world government, said, quote, "We are going to stop our economic stimulus policies, through which we used to run into even more debt, and will, as industrial nations, have our new debts until 2013. And in a second step, from 2013 to 2016, the G20 agreed to gradually reach zero new debt, which means, of course, even more economic contraction. So they create this fake debt. They make us think it's really important. They make us think it's a drain on our economy. Then they make us think we have to pay it back. Then they make us think they have to cut spending, and then we got no money. So this is the big bankster takeover, because that's who we owe this debt to. And when, you know, banksters, central banksters of the world, like the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, at BIS.org, go see for yourself. These people will tell you everything. They'll tell you everything. You know, the Royal Institute for International Affairs in Chatham House, or Chatham House in London, in the United Kingdom, the main globalist talking shop think tank set up in London, you know, around 1919, part of the Milner Group, you know, the Rhodes Scholarships, you know, they're all basically to create the world government for the British Empire through economic means. The Royal Institute for International Affairs, Chatham House, you know, they're a think tank of a few thousand of the leading political and business elite in England, and they birthed their satellite organizations in the sort of Commonwealth countries, India, Canada, Australia, the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations in New York. They're a satellite arm of Chatham House and the Royal Institute for International Affairs in London, England. So they're the political think tank, the roundtable group behind all this. Go to their website. They said they were founded in 1919 to help stop wars. You know, their stated goal. I published this on my blog, where I publish sort of footnotes from the show. And it says right there, 1919, they got together to basically stop how wars, because wars were so horrible. And then, hey, we had the 20th century. More wars than ever. You know, over 200 million people killed in wars. And the leading think tank in the world that got together at the turn of the century only got together to stop the wars. So, you know, it's all Orwellian nonsense. So back to this article here. Between 2013 and 2016, the G20 agreed to gradually reach zero new debt, which means, of course, even more economic contraction. And that means that governments are going to tell us we're in debt. So we got to cut spending. And here in Canada, the most important solution is one that's a little out of style these days, but one I'm hoping to bring back because, hey, economics is hot. We have a Bank of Canada, BOC, the Bank of Canada, the BOC, baby. You know, make it. You like UFC? You like KFC? We got to make the BOC just as hip as those two, because the Bank of Canada is our publicly owned bank. Any government, municipal, provincial, or federal, can borrow from the Bank of Canada debt and interest free to fund public works projects, infrastructure. That's how we built this country. That's how we built our roads, our railroads. Build your penitentiary. We build your schools. Brainwash education to make us the fools. And we built all that stuff, you know, by using the Bank of Canada. And then in the 1970s or so, 60s, 70s, late 60s, early 70s, Pierre Trudeau, who was a committed communist. I love Trudeau, but I love Clinton. And the more I learn about Clinton, less I like him. The more I learn about Trudeau, I'm sorry. Still looks handsome in a buckskin coat. But he was a member of the Communist Youth Party here in Canada. Did trips to Moscow in the 40s as a young man. And when he became prime minister, he went to fulfill the international socialist, international bankster goals by sinking us more and more heavily into debt starting in, I think, the early 70s. And so, you know, he, as prime minister for 25 years, was one of the guys that moved us away from using the Bank of Canada, although there were guys before him that had started to do that. But they just weren't as committed to the goals of international socialism, communism, globalist neo-feudalism. And so the bottom line is here is at this time is that we're going to be sold the idea that our $500 billion debt is the most important thing to erase. And we pay $50 billion a year on it in interest. And Harper will proudly say that at a throne speech or whatever, the House of Commons speech, one of those damn speeches them damn people, Stephen Sigheil Harper, makes. And he'll say, Canada has committed $50 billion towards our national debt. And it's supposed to be a good thing. But they won't tell us who we're paying. They won't tell us who we're paying. So we got to find that out. But that's it for me, folks. You can see more of this at henrymakow, you know, .com. And what are you talking about? Okay, got it. All right, folks, before Mr. Watson takes over, a couple of quick shout outs. Have a great weekend. Have a great day. Blah, 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 all that stuff. But, you know, if you are, I think, a male, age 25 to 45, then mentally, physically, you can handle this. And when our governments are declaring martial law in Toronto, you know, for a week or two, it's practice. Keep in mind that all of the human rights violations that took place throughout the world for the last 50 years were done for economic reasons. Economic reasons. They weren't done just because dictators wanted to be evil. They were done because dictators in third world countries were cracking down on their population on behalf of Western governments and corporations who wanted to steal everything from the people of those countries. Well, guess what? Same thing's happening here. And so our cops are being trained to crack down on us as we decide to, you know, dissent against this ridiculous scam they're pulling on us and that they have been pulling on us for a while. But the great news is they got caught. And if we all know they got caught, then they can't get away with it. So check out Infowars.com for more on this news. Definitely the gun confiscation thing is key because this is a sign. It's just Pol Pot, you know, Mao Zedong, Hitler, you know, the Armenian. Every time they've taken away people's guns, it's so they could kill them easier. So, you know, when this is happening in America and so on, and when there's pressure like that here, you know, it's because the government at least wants to act not nice. So we got to act nice to each other by revealing what they're up to mitigate that. So Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, TrendsResearch.com, HenryMakow.com, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, and many other great sites out there. Locally, you can check out ConspiracyCulture.com, great book and DVD store. Cop some DVDs, cop some books, cop some flyers, share them out with people. Put up some posters, lock down your block, wherever you live. If you can handle this, let people know. So conspiracyculture.com is a great place to get hip to this information. Great book and DVD store, Queen of Roncesvalles. TorontoTruthSeekers.com, 400 members strong, still going. PressForTruth.ca, amazing reporting at that website on the local scene. And Toronto Street News, great paper sold by the homeless. Flip Matuni, and get some information. If you buy a paper off a homeless guy for $2, you feel better. You gave a homeless guy $2, and you read in there that, you know, aspartame destroys your brain by you know, turning into formaldehyde. And then you stop using it. Hey, was it worth the $2? Probably. I'm out of here, folks. Mr. Bill Watson is up next with your jazz bungee experience. I'm going to leave you with Eminem's Not Afraid. Hopefully you take some of these ballsy pop culture songs that artists appear to be making at this time for us to help us handle what's going on. Hopefully you make the connection with what's going on and it helps you deal with it. I'm out of here, folks. Peace out. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you there.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take this thing out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me, so the world feed it beans. It's gassed up, if it thinks it's stopping me, I'ma be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly, and all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No if fans are bust, don't try to ask him why or how can he. From infinite down to the last relapse album, he still f***ing. Whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he bows out or he f***s his bowels out of him. Whichever comes first, for better or worse, he's married to the game, like a f*** you for Christmas. His gift is a curse, forget the earth, he's got the urge to pull his f- from the dirt and f- the whole universe. I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take
got to rhyme these words in the rhythm for you to know it's a rap. You said you was king, you lied through your teeth. For that, your feelings, instead of getting crowned, you're getting capped. And to the fans, I'll never let you down again, I'm back. I promise to never go back on that promise. In fact, let's be honest, at last we laughed, CD was aired. Perhaps I ran them accents and